Greetings and welcome to Montessori in Action, a podcast for Montessori educators to remind you that you are not alone. I'm your host, Elizabeth Slade, and let's spend some time listening to what is in the hearts and on the minds of other Montessorians. Episode 8 of this season is a conversation with Andrea Goss. Andrea is the first Montessori coach ever to serve in the Cincinnati Public School District. She works in the public Montessori schools there in Cincinnati as a Montessori coach to the teachers. In our conversation, she shares about her role, the work she does, and the support she receives from the district. Welcome, Andrea Goss, to Montessori in Action. So pleased to have you here today.
Thank you for inviting me to your podcast. This is just such a wonderful experience and opportunity. And every time we're together, I just learn so much from you and enjoy speaking with you. So thank you.
Ah, so happy you're here. Would you just start out by sharing your current role and how did you get into that role?
So I am the Montessori Instructional Coach with Cincinnati Public Schools. So in Cincinnati Public Schools, we have opportunities for teachers to move into leadership roles without actually being in administration and joining that team. So in order to become a lead teacher, you have to go through this rigorous process. So an evaluator will come out and observe your teaching 4 times random throughout the year. And then after that evaluation, you can get what's called a continuing contract. The other piece to that is you have the application that you have to fill out that looks at 6 or 7 different areas of your teaching and leadership styles. And so they assess your leadership and your instructional skills, and then you're required to provide evidence along with that application. So those two things are combined, the observation piece and the application, to determine if you receive the lead teacher status. So I went through that process, which I did the observations first 1 year, and then I completed the application. So it was a 2-year process for me. And then I received my lead teacher credential. Then they opened up the Montessori coaches position. So that was a new position. The district has other coaching positions for the other content areas, but the Montessori coach was new. So I was the first Montessori coach in Cincinnati Public Schools.
Woohoo! What a celebration. What level were you teaching when you had your year of observations?
So I was 6 to 9. So I was at North Avondale Montessori.
Nice. So fun. And is this an in-district process for all teachers, or is this particularly in the Montessori track?
For all teachers.
Nice. So there's leadership roles across your whole district, and they also made that within the Montessori.
Correct.
Wonderful. So now you're the first ever Cincinnati Public Schools Montessori coach. How many schools do you serve, and what are your responsibilities with them?
So I work with the 6 Montessori elementary schools, and my job has multiple layers. 80% of my time is supposed to be spent in the classrooms working with teachers and students. And then that other 20% is kind of district level projects. So that may include working with the Montessori work team that came together to get Montessori approved as a district curriculum. I also assist teachers with their curriculum and instruction and helping them adjust to life in the public sector. We also have teachers in our Montessori schools who are not Montessori credentialed yet. And so I assist them with using and modifying the other district curriculums so that they can be successful in that multi-age level environment.
That's such a huge job. 6 schools. How do you figure out how to spend your time?
So I start off with looking at, we have new teacher induction that starts in August. So I start by looking at how many new teachers are in those buildings. And so then I kind of divide my time up there, but then it gets into scheduling with whose planning time is this and when are they instructing. So yeah, it's It's intense mm-hmm. in the beginning, but then, you know, now it's like smooth sailing.
Sure. I mean, I was imagining, okay, if it was five schools, you could be at a different school each day, mm-hmm. right? But six schools, so you have to do some moving around.
Usually I split. I go to two schools in a day. So I'll spend the morning in one spot and the afternoon in another spot. And that's just because of the way their planning times are. Some teachers' sure. planning is at 2:30, some is at 8. Mm-hmm. So then I try mm-hmm. to schedule those two schools on the same day. And then mm-hmm. some are across town, some are over here. So trying to match that all, it gets tricky. And then if wow. they want you to see a special lesson,
right?
You know, you want to mm-hmm. be there for that. So it may throw mm-hmm. some things off, but I enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. Wow. And so you're job is clearly critical to implementing the approved Montessori curriculum. So that was sort of like a theoretical, and your boots on the ground for mm-hmm. making sure it gets fully implemented. Can you talk a little bit about that?
So I look at my job also as being an advocate for the Montessori program. So while I'm collaborating with managers and directors and principals, I'm creating supporting documents for the Montessori program, and that may include how does Montessori curriculum align to state standards? How right. are we using our work plans? How do we utilize our pairs? So I'm creating documents to kind of explain those processes and how it works in CPS in our Montessori schools. Mm-hmm. I also support and attend data meetings, walkthroughs,
yeah.
creating professional development opportunities for the teachers. Mm-hmm. I really believe that coaching is the best form of professional development because mm-hmm. it's such a personal approach and you really mm-hmm. get to build that rapport with the people that you're working with. So mm-hmm. all of these areas combined along with, mm-hmm. you know, working in the classrooms help to support that fully implemented Montessori program.
How many professional development days does Cincinnati Public Schools have?
So we have three throughout the school year, mm-hmm. usually in August, September, January. There's one also in March, but sometimes that's just school-based. So right. we have to prepare the content for those PD sessions. Mm-hmm. For part of that time, it was Leading Educators was an outside group. So they did part of our day in Montessori, but then we still had 3 hours of time that we can kind of develop for the teachers.
I see. And then do you all come together? So this elementary crew from the six schools come and they're enjoying the professional development together. Is that the design?
Yeah. So actually our two high school Montessori schools are included in that professional development day. So we wow. all kind of start out together in our morning meeting that kind of sets the tone. We have kind of work plans and agendas that they can kind of choose their sessions throughout the day. We usually have mm-hmm. a Montessori speaker in the morning just to kind of set that tone. And then they go out into their, you know, breakout sessions for their age level or content and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. So that must be like more than 150 people or something, mm-hmm. right?
It's a lot.
Yeah. That's wow. But that's exciting. It's like a mini conference.
It is.
Yeah. The idea of the keynote and then the mm-hmm. the more specific sessions. Lovely. I know the current approach to coaching in Cincinnati Public Schools is rather unique. Can you tell us more about your practice of PLCs or professional learning communities that you use there?
Right. So once a month, CPS has all of the coaches from all of the content areas get together and we engage in professional learning sessions known as our professional learning communities, our PLCs. Mm-hmm. So this year we had the opportunity of having leading educators come in and they provided us with monthly PD sessions that were centered around improving the whole coaching experience. So we mm-hmm. focused on note-taking, observation, effective conversations with teachers, reviewing assessments and data, and a whole bunch of other topics. Mm-hmm. And then 2 years ago, during our PLCs, we really focused on culturally responsive practices.
Nice.
And we completed a collaborative book studies with the managers, directors, and district-wide mentors. Mm-hmm. And the book we used was Culturally Responsive,
Teaching in the Brain.
Yep. By Zaretta Hammond. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was nice. And we used that book study, and the coaches partnered with the district-wide mm-hmm. mentors, and we alternated monthly on teaching each other lessons from the book. So that was really nice.
So that's you with the other sort of subject level coaches mm-hmm. or okay. And so this is you, your professional development for you, and not necessarily, and then it of course trickles down through the coaches to the classroom teachers, or were the classroom teachers also reading Zaretta Hammond?
No, so it's, we're using this as our practice as coaches.
That's
and then
your
we
lens.
Take the information mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. implement it into the classrooms.
Mm-hmm. Lovely. But as a result, all the teachers are familiar because it's trickling down through you and the things that you're thinking and talking about with them.
Right. So we may not necessarily say this came from,
sure,
you know, the book, but mm-hmm. all of the practices and how we're interacting is interwoven into our practices as coaches.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. That is just like an elaborate sort of build out around the child. So as you're in this larger role now, do you ever feel that wistfulness or that feeling about not having your own classroom community anymore?
So because I'm in so many other teachers' classrooms, I don't feel that yet.
Yeah.
I enjoy going in. I can still sit and work with their students mm-hmm. and, you know, mm-hmm. like they don't mind me coming in and sitting next to the children on a rug or showing a lesson. And I'm still teaching mm-hmm. some of the teachers who are not certified and showing them. So I don't miss it yet.
Mm-hmm.
When there's, you know, there's moments where it's like, you feel like you might, but then.
Then you go observe.
Like, no, yeah, then you observe. I'm like, no, I like it. I think I'm able to help more teachers and more students. So I look at it in that perspective instead of just missing, you know, my one classroom. But I still see some of my students. So then it's like, oh, I do miss you. So it is a little back and forth.
Right. But I mean, 100% you had an impact on 30 students and now mm-hmm. 300 or more
right.
students are benefiting from your insights. Yeah. And I imagine you know a number of key children in the classrooms by name and you're developing relationships yep. over the years. So you have that.
And they see me and they still come in and hug. Oh, can you check my work? So I'm checking their work just the same as if I was in the classroom. So it's wonderful.
Yeah.
I love it.
Mm. Wonderful. All right. So we were talking about the culturally responsive teaching in the brain and the PLCs, the work you're doing with the other coaches. How has that coaching practice affected your own coaching in the Montessori schools?
Yeah, so it's provided me with just new strategies when I work with teachers and students. Mm-hmm. So some of the ways that I would interact with teachers when I go in, I completely changed and moved away from those strategies. So one, I really realized through our PLCs and our training that I'm not, and I don't have to be the expert.
Right.
Which is really refreshing. Mm-hmm. So just mm-hmm. like Montessori describes, I'm just the guide that leads them to whatever goals they want to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just that freedom within my practice that mm-hmm. I can go in and really listen to what they need mm-hmm. and, you know, where they want to see their classroom mm-hmm. or if I'm talking to a principal, where they want to see, you know, their school culture go. Mm-hmm. And I can really tailor my coaching mm-hmm. to their needs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In the coaching course, we talk about the origins of the word coach, right? And that it was originally a vehicle and that it came into being, you know, in urban slang, not for sports, but for education, for tutors that sat beside the learner to guide them through their exams. And I often think of that image that we're getting into the coach. The person has the reins, you know, they're driving the coach, but we're sitting there and asking them, have you gone down that way before? It's looking muddy. What do you think? You know, that we're not actually holding the reins. We're directing where they're going, right. But we are sitting there to ask those reflective questions. I'm always astonished in terms of what an important role curiosity plays in the coaching role, right? That if we aren't curious about, just sort of like in the classroom where we're very curious about who is this child, right? Before me, right? We're observing, we're asking questions, we're listening to conversations they have. And to bring that level of curiosity to working with adults, has that been a seamless transition for you?
It has, because I really believe, just like when we look at children, developing that whole child. Mm-hmm. And so we have to take that same perspective of developing the whole adult. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes when I'm with teachers, before we even get to the curriculum or the instruction, it's just tell me what's going on. Tell me your day. Sometimes just hearing about those other pieces, you can get to and help them with the strategies that they need in the classroom. So it's that whole self that we're really, you know, advocating for and wanting to develop in the teachers and in the adults, whoever I'm working with. It's not just, let me know what you're doing, what curriculum, or how is this assessment, or it's everything that goes into them. We talk about the spiritual preparation of the teacher. And if we're not spiritually prepared, you know, are you getting enough sleep? Did you eat lunch? Like, are you remembering no self-care for yourself, not just the children? So I think that's important. And sometimes I'm just reminding them, you have to use and eat lunch, or you can't give everything that you need.
And that's so critical to the equity work, too. You know, the culturally responsive piece is about the spiritual preparation of the adult in many ways, to know your own identity and to be able to be present to that, holding that lens all the time. So, you know, there's been such a big hoopla around the science of reading and all of those pieces. And so I just am curious about the state requirements in your district for around teaching reading, and what steps is the district taking to ensure that fully implemented Montessori curriculum is meeting those sort of guidelines for what they call the high quality instructional materials. And what steps are you doing to get official recognition from the stakes? I know, okay, we got a curriculum now, but now here's the next level. So you can break that into two pieces if you want.
Right. So the state of Ohio has recently come out with this approved list of high quality instructional materials and core curriculum that supports reading. And so currently Montessori is not on that list. We partner with Xavier University, which is here in Cincinnati, in order to get our teachers credentialed. So Xavier is working on
brilliant.
A proposal
to
get Montessori approved as a curriculum at the state level. And so they accept new curriculum, or you can do new submissions in March and October. So they're hoping to be able to submit that new curriculum at that October 1st date. So hopefully, if it all goes well, it will be approved at the state level. So for the district right now, in the meantime, we are looking and showing that Montessori does, in fact, support all of the areas of the science of reading. Our teachers have already started taking the training for the dyslexia training. And so we are just putting all of those pieces together to make sure that we're all ready for. So hopefully we won't have to do too much adjusting.
Right. I mean, it's, sort of paving the way for full implementation. Is there anything I haven't asked you that you want to share with our listeners before we close?
I do want to say that you're book, Montessori in Action, there is a piece in there that is about coaching. And so that has been a great resource for me. So it really kind of outlines the importance of Montessori coaches. And I hope that other people will read it and see that we need more. And then also it kind of gives some of their responsibilities. So that's really nice as well.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for taking your time to speak with me and be on the podcast. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Our show is a project of Public Montessori in Action, elevating voices in the community to forward the mission. Our host is Elizabeth Slade. Our producer is Isaac Price Slade. If you enjoyed this episode, consider subscribing and sharing it with others. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts.